This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
College football turns 150 with new national powers emerging.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
And superstars dominating Saturdays like never before.
Joe Burrow, shotgun snap, launches way down the field, chase, touchdown, Tigers!
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Happy Sunday Morning Football to you. Big final hour of the show here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got Kenny White, our Sportsline Vegas virtuoso, to look at today's NFL lines. He'll drop on by the show coming up here in approximately 15 minutes from now. Also, later on in the show, Tiki Barber weighs in on Ron Rivera and what his job prospects look like. We'll talk about some of the openings that could be available in the NFL offseason coaching-wise. We'll also talk about the legend of Joe Burrow that's just consistently growing on a daily basis, which kind of appears to be a good place to start. We are coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Chase Young is an absolute monster. And wherever he gets drafted, that team's going to immediately upgrade its pass rush. And there's some other really good prospects out there. Washington offensive lineman Andrew Thomas, an excellent one. Derek Brown, defensive lineman, Auburn, excellent prospect as well. But Joe Burrow, especially if the Cincinnati Bengals, with just one win on the season thus far, end up as the number one pick in the draft, there is no way the Bengals can pass on the kid at LSU that just lit up the Georgia defense.
Play clock is down to 2. Burrow claps his hands. He has the snap. He's back to pass. Burrow looking, slides to his left, now moves to his right. Eyes downfield, steps up in the pocket, directing traffic. Burrow looking, guns back of the end zone, and that one is caught for the touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase working his way across the back line of the end zone, pulls it in.
My opinion, he's the best player in the country. In my opinion, he should win it. In my opinion, he's going to win it. But you know the best thing about Joe? He's a team player, and all he wants to do is win this game. Individual awards are not high on his list. That's what makes him such a great team player.
Westwood won on the game call, that, of course, being Ed Ogeron. And Burrow just took a very good Georgia defense behind the woodshed. And clearly the scheme is very helpful. Obviously, they overhauled the offense, and Joe Brady's impact on that program can't be overstated. But Joe Burrow yesterday made so many great throws and made it look easy against one of the best defenses in the country. Remember going into this game, it seems like people have forgotten already. People thought that Georgia's defense could at least keep this a game. People thought at least Georgia's defense could slow down LSU. Not only could they not slow down the Tigers, The Tigers had multiple drops that could have been more touchdowns that Burrow put right on the money. This guy's got it all. And if you are the Cincinnati Bengals at the top of this draft, you simply cannot pass on Burrow. Yesterday's performance yet again proves how good he is in big spots. And the Giants will be very high in the draft order, but they have a quarterback. Washington will be very high in the draft order. They have a quarterback. Miami doesn't have a quarterback, but they already have three wins. And I don't think there's any way the Bengals are getting to three wins. So Cincinnati sits in the catbird seat to take Joe Burrow number one overall. And congratulations, Joe. You're going to win the Heisman. You've won the SEC. You might end up winning the entire championship. And that's going to earn you a trip to Cincinnati. Ugh. Meantime, elsewhere in college football, Lane Kiffin wins Conference USA for the second time in 3 years at the helm of FAU. And he is going to the SEC. Ole Miss hires Laney Boy.
There's been a lot of speculation this week. Was this your last game coaching as the head coach for FAU?
So this is not about that. You know, today is about this team, our fans, our university. Winning two championships in 3 years is awesome. So this is an awesome day for everyone.
Awkward. That audio courtesy of the CBS Sports Network. I love this hire. Now, I love this hire because it means that there's immediate drama. And I don't know if Lane Kiffin makes Ole Miss that much better. What I love, though, is that Lane Kiffin makes Ole Miss that much more interesting. And he makes the SEC that much more interesting. And let's face it, the Big Ten claims football superiority, and there's other conferences that resent the SEC, but there is simply no greater soap opera in the world than the SEC football conference. There is not. The royal family, Real Housewives, the Kardashians, there is no greater drama. There is no greater soap opera than SEC football. I mean, it never ceases to amaze the types of storylines that continually come out of this conference. And Lane Kiffin, being persona non grata to say the very least at Tennessee, and then becoming even more hateable after Tennessee, going to Alabama and being part of those championship teams, now coming back into the fray to take on Ole Miss in the wake of sanctions, for Lane to finally get his Power 5 shot again after being humiliated at USC, coming in the SEC is all kinds of perfect. And next year, I mean, the opening road for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss football is remarkable. You want to talk about a difficult way to to begin your career. Next year, Ole Miss opens up with Baylor. I mean, you have a team that obviously has one of the best defenses and coaches in the Big 12. Next year, you're talking about already not only Baylor, but an SEC schedule of Auburn, LSU, Alabama to open up conference play. So in the first month and a half for Lane Kiffin in his job at Ole Miss, he's got Baylor, Auburn, LSU, Alabama. Welcome back to the Power 5, Lane Kiffin. Amazing. It's just amazing. All parts of the SEC consistently are amazing. And finally, in the NFL, big one at the Superdome, Niners and Saints. And this game may just define the Niner season and their postseason hopes.
They can get going big in there, especially when their team's playing like they are. I'm very glad it's an earlier game. It only gets worse the later it gets, but it won't be much of a difference. I mean, it's as loud as it can be. I think it was good for us to be in Baltimore the week before. I think that was the loudest stadium we had to deal with so far this year. New Orleans will be the exact same, if not louder.
That's Kyle Shanahan talking about the very loud Superdome, and here's why I think today's game will dictate so much about the Niners' ultimate postseason chances. I think the Niners' defense is excellent. We all do. We know their ground attack is excellent. We know they're well coached. Those are all things that travel well in the playoffs. But I don't trust the Niners to win three road games of the playoffs with this NFC. You've got great teams in New Orleans, great teams in Seattle, very good teams in Green Bay. You've got so many difficult places to have to play, and to do it three times if you're the wild card is going to be brutal in this year's NFC. Absolutely brutal. They might open up as a wild card, let's just say, in Dallas. And maybe they get the win there, but they have to win then on the road in Dallas, perhaps on the road in week number two, let's say in Seattle, and then finish up on the road to the Superdome in New Orleans for the NFC Championship game. An absolutely killer road if you're trying to get to a Super Bowl. But the Niners, with a one seed or a two seed, having it come through there after a bye is a different thing. Today is a huge, huge step towards that, because you're battling the Saints for one of those byes. You're battling the Saints for home field advantage, and you've got to play the Seahawks again. Today, if you beat the Saints, the Niners can legitimately talk about byes and home field advantage and Super Bowl aspirations. I think if they lose today, it means they're a wild card team more likely, and that's a really, really tough way to be. Get into a Super Bowl this year in such a loaded NFC. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Diane tweets in, DA, look at the stats. The Buckeyes deserve to stay number one and play Oklahoma in the college football playoff. Diane puts up a graphic that they flashed on TV last night about Ohio State having five wins in the top 25 versus LSU's four, and Ohio State's points per game differential being better than LSU. Look, that might be true, but here's the fact. Ohio State doesn't have the high-end wins, nowhere close that LSU does. LSU had a top 10 win early in the season against Texas. Now, granted, Texas didn't end up being a great team, but at the time they were a top 10 team, that was on the road. Later in the season, they end up beating number 7 Florida, and they do it by 3 touchdowns. Then they end up beating number 9 Auburn. They go to Alabama when Bama's number 3 in the country, and they still had Tua, and then just beat number 4 Georgia. Those are much better, far superior wins to anything Ohio State puts up there. Ohio State's win over Penn State, good. But outside of that Penn State win, what? Destroying Michigan? They always destroy Michigan. Is Michigan really that good? Is Michigan a top 10 caliber opponent? No, at the time they weren't. And two wins over Wisconsin. I mean, that's just not the same as what LSU went through and did. It's not the same. And let's just look at yesterday's action. LSU didn't fall behind by 2 touchdowns. LSU took the number 4 team of the country yesterday and absolutely pushed them down the stairs. One of the best defenses in football had no answer, none, for LSU's offense. Ohio State fell behind by 2 touchdowns. Come on. Let's get real. LSU's the best team in the country. They should be the number 1 seed in the playoff. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, let's look at today's NFL lines with our Vegas virtuoso, Kenny Waite from Sportsline, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
And today, another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, it's Baltimore's MVP, Lamar Jackson, taking his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC title game when the Patriots welcome the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. We are efforting Kenny Waite from Sportsline to be our Vegas virtuoso today. Let's talk about Jerry Jones, though, first. Jerry Jones has got to fire Jason Garrett. Nothing else is going to be palatable. Nothing else is going to be serviceable for the way that this season has gone. So that much is clear. Whether Jerry is bothered to do that because he's friendly with Jason, because Jason's been a good soldier, I think primarily Jason's played his perfect role. I think for Jerry, the perfect coach's role is don't question the front office. Be the shield to take all the slings and arrows. Play good soldier and play nice in the sandbox around the Jones family and with the big end corporate sponsors. And just be a professional about everything. Okay? And Jason Garrett's been that. But in terms of football wins and losses, Garrett has not done enough to keep this job, and this is the end. It has to be the end. But for Jerry to go on local radio in Dallas each and every week after every game, to speak after every game, to speak before every game, and to have a meltdown like he did on Friday, where he's cursing at the local hosts on our affiliate, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, is utterly absurd. Hey, Jerry, do you feel like the walls are closing in? Do you feel like there's hysteria around you? Are you lashing out because there's so much emotion and talk and discussion and speculation? You drive the bus on that. You don't have to talk after every game. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to do weekly spots on radio. You don't have to do it. You don't have to consistently speculate on everything. Trips to the Super Bowl, winning the division, salary negotiations with Zeke, the money you're going to spend on your offensive line, how much you'd pay your quarterback. You don't have to do any of that. And then when it becomes this crazy hysteria where everybody has an opinion on everything, Jerry melts down, how dare you? And tries to lecture or scold the hosts. Jerry created this. And this is why I can't see why Urban Meyer would want this job. The reports are out there that they want Urban. But why would Urban want this? Why? Jerry Jones yelling the day after another putrid Cowboys loss about the tone of the interview feels like an old man yelling at the microwave buzzer. Why are you always going off? I hate this microwave. Shut it off. You can't control what you have created. It's time for our Vegas Virtuoso, our good friend Kenny White joining us from Sportsline. Kenny, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Looking forward to what the college football playoffs has in store for us.
No doubt. I think we know the four, but we'll see what the seeding is when this comes out in about a half hour from now. Let's look at the NFL slate. Ravens and Bills, such a huge game. The Ravens are 6.5-point favorites on the road in Buffalo. The Bills have a great defense. Is this too big of a line? The Ravens favored by nearly a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that, Jay, that the Ravens may have a letdown and not play their A game. It just seems like the Ravens come out every weekend and come out and play the best football they possibly can play. They seem to get better every week, and we rarely ever see this in the NFL. This just doesn't happen. So maybe this is that week that the Ravens don't have that type of game. It's the time to buy low and sell high. I would be selling all the Ravens stock right now just because they're at an all-time high. And I think Buffalo's done a good job. Their quarterback has managed the games for them well. Allen has actually won a couple of games, not just managed it. But it is that defense that has been the star of the show. So I think Buffalo's defense at home could give the Ravens a game today. I think it'll be a close battle.
Another big one in New Orleans, Niners and Saints. In this game, the Saints are a slight favorite. They're a two-point favorite at home. We know how big home field advantage is for the Saints. What are you looking at with Saints laying two today?
Yeah, that's very true, and I kind of amazed me with this number that is that low, because the Saints are an outstanding football team. 49ers, again, I think I would be selling on them at the right time, because their stock continues to go up and up and up, while the Saints have done nothing wrong other than, you know, right the ship right now. With Drew Brees, I think the offense is continuing to get better. The 49ers with a tough game last week versus Baltimore, where you get beat up a little bit. You're staying on the East Coast. I just don't know if that's a benefit or not to the 49ers. Big game for both teams, obviously, for playoff positioning. So I'll take the Saints and Drew Brees anytime, just basically to win a football game at home.
Chiefs and Patriots later on today from Foxborough. In this game, the Patriots are a three-point favorite, which means on a neutral site, Vegas believes this is an even matchup. Do you believe on a neutral site, Chiefs and Patriots is an even matchup?
It is right now, the way the Patriots' offense has struggled the last several weeks. I'm very optimistic about the Patriots' offense, that they will get it going. They use excuses as wide receivers. They don't have the wide receivers in the offense. But I always say wide receivers are a dime a dozen, and they'll figure it out. This might be the week. Kansas City's offense is outstanding, but I don't know if they've seen a defense this good, especially a secondary this good. And the Chiefs don't run the ball like they used to as well, and they're going to need to run it today if they're going to be successful against the Patriots. I think this is actually... When I say that, I think this is going to be a very fun game to watch. I think the Patriots' offense will come to life today. I think they may have found something, even though it was late and it was garbage time last week. I think that's just making them a little bit added confidence. But I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. I think it'll be a 35-31 game, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs won the game. They really, Patriots are just kind of a little bit of a funk right now, even though they've got that long winning streak at home going. The Chiefs might be that team to be able to break it.
Kenny White joins us from CBS Sportsline. Texans and Broncos, this one is in Houston. The Texans, coming off that big win over the Patriots last weekend, are favored by 8.5 points. Should we be worried about a letdown game by the Texans today?
Yeah, we really could. You know, what happens, that's what we talked earlier about the Ravens. Will they ever have a letdown? A lot of teams in the NFL do, and the Texans are a team that have shown that. Bill O'Brien's team, actually, though, if we can remember last year, they put on a great run at the end of the season. So his team got better as the year went along, and it kind of looks as if they're getting better now as the year goes. I don't trust Drew Locke. I don't trust the Bronco offense. Their defense is outstanding. Should keep them in the game. So I would expect a lower-scoring football game, but I think Houston covers the spread here.
Finally, tonight, Seahawks and Rams in Los Angeles. This is a pick'em. And this is interesting because the Seahawks are a 10-2 team, and the Rams have really kind of slipped their way through the season. Why is this a pick'em in Vegas?
Yeah, well, you're right. I'm just wondering why it's not Rams 6. That's what my question is. How come the Rams aren't 6-point favorite? Oh, because of the records of the two teams. Right now, if you put talent up and stack talent up side by side, the Rams are better on almost every position on the field except for one right now. That's the quarterback position. And it is the most important position. Seattle has been very, very fortunate. They've won a lot of close football games. This is a team that is 10-2 that actually could be 7-5 right now. This is a game the Rams need badly. Seattle comes off a Monday night game in a very physical battle against a tough Minnesota team. A short week, have to travel. Playing a Ram team who may have just gotten a little extra confidence last week that they finally played their best game of the year at Arizona, where Jared Goff struggles on the road, but he's been tremendous at home. And I think he has a big game, and I think that the Rams may be the best play of the day. They'll beat Seattle today.
Wow, I love it. Kenny White joining us here from Sportsline. Follow him, sportsline.com, for the latest information on today's NFL lines and much, much more. Kenny, great stuff, man. Thanks.
Thanks. You got it. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Wow, Kenny White. This is a 10-2 Seahawks team that many people would expect to manhandle the Rams, and yet Kenny's saying the Rams are absolutely going to win this game, and that he would say Rams by 6 if he had to put the line. Wow. All right, when we come back here on the show, we'll talk about Ron Rivera and other openings around the NFL. We'll talk about the legend of Joe Burrow growing by the day, and I've got your football forecast. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, DA. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more in car insurance. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And Ron Rivera, the first head coach of the NFL to be fired. And now we wait to see who Dave Tepper, owner of the Panthers, wants to bring in. Now, I understand why Tepper wanted to do this. He just paid $2.2 billion for his franchise. And when you spend that much money, you don't have a lot of patience for losing seasons. This will be back-to-back losing seasons for the Panthers. So, understandable. He gets rid of him. But Ron Rivera is a very good head coach. And Ron Rivera is the winningest coach in franchise history. And Ron Rivera had a 15-1 season, went to a Super Bowl, and has won the NFC South 3 different times. Tiki Barber joined me earlier this week, and I asked Tiki, you know, how in demand does Tiki think that Ron Rivera will be this offseason?
I don't know if highly coveted is the right word, because the trend, as you know, is towards these younger guru types. And if you can find one of these coaches in college, you know, like a Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, or Matt Rhule, who's done some good things at Baylor, if you can pull one of those guys, that's probably choice one. But I do think Ron Rivera has value as an advisor in the short term, and maybe an assistant head coach in the long term. Right? That's what remember LA hires Sean McVay, no coaching, head coaching experience, but obviously a genius, so to speak, in the offensive quarterbacking and offensive coordinator roles. He hired Wade Phillips as his defensive coordinator / associate head coach. So he has a value to some of these young coaches who don't have head coaching experience, as well as the success that a locker room needs. So highly coveted, I'd say no. But valuable to some franchise, absolutely.
Earlier in the year, you had Jay Gruden fired in Washington. Now, later in the season, Rivera gets the axe. And I do think that there's going to be jobs for Ron Rivera in the offseason, because while last year was all about finding the next Sean McVay, I think this year you might find coaches being hired that have prior experience. Don't be surprised if Ron Rivera ends up getting another head coaching job, maybe Atlanta. I wouldn't be surprised either if you had Mike McCarthy getting another head coaching job somewhere as well. You've got guys that have won before that I think you would bring back to the NFL ranks, and I think Ron Rivera is definitely going to be one that has a job if he wants it on opening day of next year. Some people are talking about maybe Ron Rivera in Dallas. Well, maybe they got their sights higher and they look at Urban Meyer, but for Rivera, there's going to be a couple of openings, I would assume, of teams looking for somebody that has won before, because we've seen the problem with taking guys that have never coached before. Freddie Kitchens has been a mess. Vic Fangio has been very underwhelming in Denver. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. These are three really disappointing seasons in those three cities with first-year head coaches. Max Starks is a 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's seen one side of the rivalry with the Cleveland Browns. And last week, of course, Freddie Kitchens stirring the pot by wearing the Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt. I asked Max Starks what his takeaway was on Kitchens' decision.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Because as a head coach, you have to be elevated above the on-the-field situation. And let's be technically honest here, they started it. Myles Garrett doing extra things, going, you know, trying to take Mason Rudolph to the ground. 8 seconds left in the game when obviously, clearly, Mason Rudolph had given his body up because he had thrown the ball. So, you know, that's a natural thing. Quarterbacks will just go limp. Why am I fighting if I still have the ball in my hands? And for him to go that extra step, they technically started it. And unfortunately, they tried to finish it, but, well, we see what happened. Pittsburgh ended up finishing it at home. So, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where you have to be above that. And it just constantly, as a former Steeler, it just consistently shows the class of the Cleveland Browns.
Tell us how you really feel, Max. Shows you the class of that organization of the Cleveland Browns. I thought it was a ridiculous move by Freddie, but I think that Freddie in general is a ridiculous head coach. I thought he was a ridiculous hire at the time for all sorts of reasons that seem clear now, but at the time should have been clear also. You have a franchise that's not used to winning. You are trying to change the culture immediately. You've got a lot of young yet volatile personalities. You've got big expectations. How about you don't hire a first-time head coach? How about you go with a guy that's been there before and allow Freddie to be the offensive coordinator, which worked last year? How about you don't add another what if into the equation, which is what if a first-year head coach is overwhelmed? What if managing Odell? What if managing expectations? What if Baker Mayfield comes back to the pack in year number two? Adding another what if to it was always a silly hire by John Dorsey. But then, I mean, the way that Freddie has handled himself throughout the season just goes to show you he's not head coaching material. You know, maybe at a JUCO college, fine. You want to make him your head coach. But in the NFL, he's in over his skis. And to wear that T-shirt and, on top of it, be coaching the least disciplined, most penalized team in the NFL, and then to wear a T-shirt basically making fun of your brawl, it just goes to show you that he is just not at a maturity level or a professionalism level that it takes to win in the NFL. He's just not at it. I'm sure a good guy to share Bud Light with, but not a goober you want leading your organization. And finally, here's Jamie Erdahl, lead reporter for the SEC on CBS, on the burgeoning legend of Joe Burrow.
That's pretty remarkable. I think this is a young man that, I don't want to say he was wronged along the way, but, you know, working with Gary Danielson, he has a really interesting path in his playing time. And we were talking about Joe Burrow a couple weeks ago. Gary got pretty emotional after our game at Alabama, and just in the context of so many people doubted him along the way. And I think he feels a connection to Joe Burrow in that respect. You know, he wasn't heavily recruited coming out of high school. He goes to what many would argue as a young man that grew up in Ohio, you know, his dream school and going to Ohio State. Obviously, things don't pan out there for a number of reasons. And then he has to turn elsewhere. And of all the places a kid from Ohio could land, going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and not only surviving there and getting along there, but thriving and succeeding and being embraced by a community more than anyone that I've really ever seen before, has just been a remarkable story. I don't blame him for the way he responded on senior night. I think that credit was due to the Baton Rouge community, to LSU football. It's just this match made in heaven that we never knew we needed in college football until we saw it unfold over the last two seasons. And I just am so happy for him that he was able to have that moment with it, you know, with those fans.
Joe Burrow's numbers are so mind-bending. In the SEC, against some of the best defenses in college football. In the SEC West, this is a guy that has thrown for 4,700 yards, 48 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. He has a quarterback rating this year overall of 93.7. And he has a 78% completion percentage. He is completing 78% of his passes. He's completing essentially 8 out of every 10 passes in the SEC. He's thrown basically 50 touchdowns to 6 INTs and nearly 5,000 yards. This is totally insane. My goodness. My goodness. I can't wait to see him against the competition that we'll see in the college football playoff. I think they should be number one. We'll see in about 10 minutes where they rank the Final Four. We know who the Final Four is going to be. We just don't know which seeds each of the Final Four get. Although I guess we do know that Oklahoma is going to be number four. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
All right, speaking of the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland today, it's going to be sunny. Highs in the high 40s with a 99% chance Freddie gets fired with a loss today. The Bengals are coming into town. And look, the Browns aren't going to the playoffs. They've got this really slim hope, but they've got to run the table, obviously. And right now they're 5-7. And I think, you know, 7 losses is going to keep them out anyway, but they've got to at least run the table if their season's officially on ice, because the one win Bengals come into town and beat you, forget it, it's over. And I just don't see how you can bring back Freddie Kitchens anyway, but if he loses to the one win Bengals in state at home today, he's not going to make Christmas. In New Jersey, East Rutherford at MetLife Stadium. Temperatures in the low 40s, mostly sunny with a 40% chance that this is some real anguish in New York City tomorrow. I mean, I don't think the Jets lose today. I think the Jets are much better than the Dolphins. I think the Jets should be favored by 5 points, which they are by Vegas. But the Dolphins have beaten them once. The Jets have had some unbelievably ugly efforts. And if the Dolphins, who are playing tough for their head coach, get the season sweep of the Jets, and the Jets have already said that Adam Gase isn't going to be fired, I mean, this week, what will Jets fans think? That you have to hang on to a guy that got swept by the Dolphins? And, oh, by the way, if the Jets lose today to the Dolphins, that would mean they both would have the same record. That would mean that the Jets would be equally as bad as a team that was trying to lose this season, while the Jets were trying to win this season. And finally, in Houston, I think we are set up for a underwhelming performance by the Texans. Roof's likely to be closed, but a 75% chance of an ugly Texans win. They're coming off that really emotional victory over the Patriots, where they obviously felt really good about themselves. They're celebrating. Deshaun Watson's doing the strumming of the guitar. And they felt great. And they should. That's a big boy win for them. They come back today at home against the Broncos, whose season is clearly over. I just think we're prone to a huge letdown performance by the Texans. I think that number is a huge number, 8.5. I think this ends up being an ugly Texans win today at home over the Broncos. And that is your football forecast. 3 huge games today, which you have to watch, or at least keep tabs on. Ravens and Bills early, Niners and Saints early, Patriots and Chiefs late. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, your executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Great job. Thanks to Shep, Dave Shepard on the Wheels of Steel. Great job, Shep, on the ones and the twos. Thanks to Justin Shackle on your headlines. And thanks to Sam Rubinoff, Sammy Rubes, at WatchDA.com and the simulcast. We'll see you next week, everybody. Enjoy football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.